honorable members, we will first introduce ourselves. Honorable member, Mofokeng, if you could just introduce ourselves.
Well, thank you, Chairperson. I'm Jacqueline Mofokeng, member of the committee from the ANC.
Thank you, Chair. I'm Andre Shembeni, member of the portfolio committee here.
Thanks, Chair. I'm Drago Mafanya from the Red Brigade.
Honorable Molekwa, don't be intimidated by the Red Brigade. You may introduce yourself, Honorable Molekwa.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. My name is Asma Molekwa, member of Portfolio Committee.
Chairperson, thank you. I'm Peter Blanche, and I'm also a member of this committee. Thanks.
Thank you, Chairperson. Andrew Whitfield.
I continue by introducing yourself.
Thank you, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members. I will just introduce the team quickly so that we don't waste time by them introducing the big delegation. I will start with Mr. Felim Basson, who is our Director of Strategic Planning. Myself, my name is Alvin Pumuzo Rapea, the Secretary for Police Service. Next to me is Mr. Tumelo Ngonjwana, who is our Chief Financial Officer. And next to her is Ms. Diwuho Mavitsi, who is the Acting Chief Director of Corporate Services. And next to her is Ms. Bilkis Omar, who is the Chief Director, Policy and Research, followed by Mr. Poko Masangu, who is the Director, Integrity and Governance. And next to him is Mr. Benjamin Ntuli, who is the Chief Director, Intersectoral Coordination Strategic Partnerships. And next to him is Advocate Don Bell, who is our Head of Legal Services and Legislation. And lastly, it's Mr. Takalani Ramaru, who is the Chief Director, Civilian Oversight, Monitoring and Evaluation. And we also have two directors behind me. The Director of Strategic Planning, who is Audit Director, Bagedi Kwete, and the Deputy Director of Organizational Development, Mr. Ernest Mutswenyane.
Thank you very much. You may continue.
Thank you. The presentations we are going to make is divided into three parts. I'll just do an introduction, and Mr. Basson will take us through the first part of the presentation, which will be the strategic objectives and also the programs, and the CFO will take us through the finances, and the Chief Director of Corporate Services will then deal take us through the HR issues. Just as a way of introduction, the Civilian Secretariat for Police Service is established in terms of Section 208 of the Constitution. And in terms of that section, it says that a Civilian Secretariat for Police must be established by a National function under the direction of a cabinet member responsible for policing. And I think the next slide just depicts what we do in support of the minister vis-a-vis the operational side. The minister is who is the responsible cabinet member direct, guides and supervises and determines policy, doctrine, posture and standards for the South African Police Service, and he also ensures that he oversees policy performance and compliance by the South African Police Service. And that he does, supported by the Civilian Secretariat for Police Service, which drafts policies as directed by the Minister, provides credible research, policy reviews, impact studies, and we are a department that is dedicated to provide the Minister with informed and considered advice and the capacity to oversee the police. On the other side, SAPS is directly accountable to the Minister as it delivers on its legislative mandate by implementing the policies and implements the ministerial directions in accordance with agreed regulations, the standard operating systems, the national instructions, and articulated operational values. The mandate of the Civilian Secretariat for Police Service, as the Constitution directed that it should be established by national legislation, is established in terms of the Civilian Secretariat for the Police Service Act 2001. And our mandate broadly is to provide the Minister with policy advice and research support, develop departmental policy through qualitative and evidence-based research. We also provide civilian oversight over the police service through monitoring and evaluating the overall performance of the police. We mobilize role players, stakeholders, and partners outside the department through engagements on crime prevention and other policing matters. And we also provide other support services to the minister in pursuit of achieving his or her mandate. The department is still a very young department because we were established as a designated department from the 1st of April 2014. We can say we are 5 years old. Then what that entails is that it meant that the secretariat became a standalone department independent of staffs. Previously, when we started in 94, we had what we called the Safety and Security Department. And then after that, then it was put under SAPS as one of the directorates. I think it was a deputy director general. It was even reduced to a chief director, but now it became a standalone department. Our vision, which we are in the process of revisiting, that we want to see a transformed and accountable police service that reflects the values of our developmental state. And our mission is to provide an efficient and effective civilian oversight over SAPS and enhance the role of the Minister of Police. We are a department, we have a small budget compared to what you have been dealing with for the past 2 days of 90-odd billion. We only have a budget of 146 million rand that assist us with our operations. Our strategic goals are a well-advised and supported minister for a service delivery-oriented police service that is accountable, and underlying the issue of accountability and taking into consideration where we come from. Quality, timeous, evidence-based strategic research, policy advice, and legislative support to the minister. We also are responsible to deepen public participation in the fight against crime and enhance accountability and the transformation of the police service. The strategic priorities are to strengthen community participation in building peaceful and crime-free society. We also are responsible to ensure that we support the community policing forums and the community safety forum formation in the society, and developing policies and evidence-based research for improved police service delivery to communities. And we are also responsible to submit policing legislative bills for approval and also for processing through Parliament. And we are an effective oversight in the conduct and performance of SAPS. I think from here on, I will hand over to Mr. Basson, who will take us through program by program. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Chair and Honourable Members. Good evening. Very briefly, the operational budget of the Secretariat is 41 million, personnel is 104 million, and the total, as mentioned earlier by the Secretary, is 146 million. And then the administration, the different programs 1, 2, 3, and 4 are reflected, which total up to 146 million, as mentioned by the Secretary, and the CFO will elaborate later in this particular presentation on the breakdown of the budget. So our first program is the program administration. The purpose of the program is to provide strategic leadership, management, and support services to the department. And the sub-programs there are the Department of Management, Corporate Services, and the Office of the CFO, the Financial Administration. Under Program 1 Administration, the purpose of Program 1 is to provide strategic leadership, management, and support services to the department, and the priority here in this case, it is the Department of Management, the CFO, and Corporate Services. The following areas will be a priority for 2019-20. The Joint Consultative IPET Secretariat Forum meetings in compliance with the Act. HR will maintain a vacancy rate of not more than 7% of the total staff establishment. Finance will see the payment to creditors within 30 days. They will also do 100% internal and external audit recommendations implemented, and 100% expenditure in relation to the budget allocated. The risks involved there are in the inability to recover departmental information or loss of departmental information due to the lack of disaster recovery and business continuity plans, over and or underspending of departmental budget due to the failure to fill funded vacant posts on time, unhealthy and unsafe working environment due to a dilapidated building and overcrowding of officials in the offices, and there will be later from HR also come some knowledge about the, we are busy with the relocation. So the mitigation of those risks are the finalization of departmental recovery and business continuity plans, to hold regular meetings with HR committee to facilitate the filling of vacant posts, and as I've mentioned, the department is in the plan of relocating to another building. Program 2, which is the intersectoral coordination and strategic partnerships. The program purpose is to manage and encourage national dialogue and community safety and crime prevention. And within that particular program, there are two sub-programs.
One is the intergovernmental civil society and public partnerships, and the other one is community outreach. So program two, the purpose is to manage and encourage national dialogue, as I've mentioned, and community safety and crime prevention. The following areas will be a priority: to strengthen community outreach programs through memorandums of understanding signed off with stakeholders, facilitate the establishment of community safety forums with provincial secretariats and municipalities, capacity building sessions and crime prevention on crime prevention policies, approval of a partnership strategy, targeted anti-crime campaigns in crime hotspot areas, strengthen community police forums, implementation of regulations and standards, and the ministerial intervention and participation programs to promote community safety. The risks there are involved as unsustainable working relations with stakeholders due to a lack of cooperation sometimes, and the mitigation of those risks is the development and implementation of a memorandum of understanding provisions with various stakeholders. Program 3 is legislation and policy development, and program 3 is divided into two sub-programs, which is policy development and research and legislation. And the purpose of this particular program is to develop policy and legislation for the police sector and conduct research on policing and crime. Under sub-program 3.1, which is policy and development and research, the purpose of this particular sub-program is to develop policies and undertake research in areas of policing and crime, and the following areas will be a priority: the developing phase two of the e-policing policy framework, development of an implementation framework for the 2016 white paper on policing, support the broader objective of building a professional, highly skilled, well-resourced and advanced technology police service as highlighted in the National Development Plan and the white paper, ensure optimal coordination and alignment in policing across the three spheres of government to achieve greater impact on criminality, examining the impact of SAPS training program on service delivery, examining the effectiveness of SAPS disciplinary management on policing, create an information and knowledge sharing platform that will assist in improved safety conditions at local level to implement interventions that can help prevent violence and crime. The risk and the mitigation there, the risks are compromised quality of research and policy development due to lack of adequate consultation with relevant stakeholders, and the mitigation of this risk is continuous engagement with relevant stakeholders. I just would like to mention that this risk and this mitigation of risk went through a process with our internal audit and a risk manager, and that is why we have this risk and mitigation of the of those risks. The sub-program 3.2, dealing with legislation. The purpose of this program, sub-program, is to provide legislative support services to the minister. The following areas will be a priority: the drafting of the Firearms Control Amendment Bill, the drafting of Controlled Animals and Animal Produce Bill, drafting the Protection Constitutional Democracy Against Terrorists and Related Matters Amendment Bill, drafting South African Police Service Amendment Bill, and drafting the Second-Hand Goods Amendment Bill. The risk involves delays in the finalization of legislations due to the dependency on other stakeholders in the legislative process, and the mitigation of that is to continue the engagement with stakeholders. Program 4 is the Sovereign Oversight Monitoring and Evaluation Program, and the purpose of this program is to oversee, monitor, and report on the performance of the South African Police Service. And there's also two sub-programs. The one is Police Performance, Conduct, and Compliance Monitoring, and the other one is Policy and Program Evaluations. So the areas that will be a priority will be police oversight reports, provide the minister with the status of compliance and service delivery trends on the implementation of policy, legislation and substandards, give an account on how SAPS utilizes the allocated budget pertaining to government and ministers' priorities, and how the subs is achieving the planned performance targets, and provides an analysis of the utilization of subs compliance and non-compliance with regard to domestic violence as per statutory requirement, and make recommendations for improved compliance. The other priority areas is also to measure the extent of the implementation of the IPED recommendations, monitoring compliance of the implementation of the Sexual Offences Act by SEPs, assess the ability of SEPs to receive and deal with complaints against its members through reports and complaints management, and report on how SEPs is managing the litigation management process, which include responses to civil claims. And the last one is the assessment of effectiveness and efficiency of the Central Firearms Registry. The risk involved is the inability to cover the full scope of the sub-budget analysis due to inadequate skills and capacity. And the second one is the inability to fully cover the scope of the evaluation project due to lack of full cooperation from SEPs and inadequate human resource. And the mitigation of those risks is to fast-track the appointment of personnel for the budget analysis, to acquire an additional capacity, in this case deputy director, to assist with the budget analysis, and constant communication engagement with SEPs, and then also requests for extra capacity in the form of contract workers. And then I will hand over back to the secretary. Thank you, Chairperson and committee.
Thank you. The CFO will take us through the final.
Thank you, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members, Secretary of Police, colleagues, and all present here. I will be presenting to you the finances of the department. What I need to indicate is that as a department, we have been allocated a budget of about 146.7 million. That is the full budget of the department. And if you can look in, if you compare this with the previous financial year budget of about 131.2 million, it looks like it's an increase of about 11.8% increase. But what is of interest is the fact that if you look at the administration program, deal with slide number one, it looks like we've increased the budget by about 19.4%. But I need to indicate to everyone present here to say the reason for that is because as the department, we've just received our staff have just received transferred the accommodation budget to the department. Staff used all along to pay the accommodation for the department, but now that the department is hoping to move to a new building, now that the funds have been transferred to us. Also, if you look within the civilian oversight monitoring and evaluation program, it looks like there for about 9.4% increase. And as I discussed, Dan, you will see the details. The effect there is that We have the two entities within the department, the DNA board, as well as the DPCI judge. So that money, because they report to the monitoring and evaluation unit, that money is meant for the employees that will be added to those two entities. Going to slide 26, if you look at the economic classification, you'll realize that indeed within the goods and services, the increase is about 24%, almost 25%, which confirms the effect of the funds that has been transferred from SAPS for our accommodation. What is also of interest is that if you look at the transfers and subsidies, it will look like they've decreased. The reason for the decrease is that we had a higher budget in the previous years because there used to be a lot of officials who left, but now we are hoping that there won't be so much people left, so that's why the budget is not that high. Again, the other element there to look at is the payment for capital assets. As much as we will be moving to the new building, you will see that the budget for payments for capital assets has even increased below inflation. So what then that means is that all we're going to do, we'll take our old building, our old furniture, which was transferred with us when we went to, when we became an independent, we're still going to take that old building and still move it with it to the new building. So we'll see maybe if there's any interest of savings, then we can see whether we can find some other money. Moving on to slide number 27, Yes, yeah, you will realize that we've got an item, we've got a unit which is called office accommodation. You can see that it's almost increased by about more than 600%. it talks to the fact that in the previous financial year, we used to have only about 732. Now that budget has actually increased to about 6.8 million, which talks to the 6 million that staff has actually transferred to us. So that slide is talking particularly to that. Going on to slide number 28, here is the breakdown of the economic classification for program one. Again, here it confirms the issue of the 53% increase in terms of goods and services, which then talks exactly to the office space that we'll be having. Again, if you look at payment for capital assets, it will look like it has increased by about 224%. What's happening there? We are hoping to move, because you can see it's under software and intangible assets. What we're hoping there is to make sure that our internal audit unit is more strengthened by giving them the necessary system, but also M&E will be also shifting some money for a system for the M&E unit. Moving over to slide 29, there you can see this is a program two, intersectoral coordination and strategic partnerships. One thing that I would have that you could see when you're looking at this, you look at the previous financial year spending on that program, it spent about 90% of their budget. But why it looks to have spent so little is because that most of their program, they were doing them in collaboration with the staff. So realizing that, they were able to actually save some money. So that is why then their budget looked like it has not increased that much. It has only increased by about 2.8%, because we are hoping that they will continue their collaboration with the SAPs so that we can actually experience more savings from them. Then the slide 30 actually is a breakdown of exactly what I've said, to say that they've got about 2.8 increase the program too. Moving on to slide 33. Here we are looking at program four, which is the civilian oversight monitoring and evaluation. Exactly what I've mentioned, that you see there at the second two column, there you'll see that the TPCI judge budget has actually increased by about 1.4 million, which actually talks exactly to the fact that we are hoping to make sure that they have additional staff with them. But within the M&E, you will see that there's been a shift away from performance and police conduct, and then we've moved more money to information and management. So we want to strengthen that unit to make sure that it can actually run technologically in terms of the first resolution. Then in the next slide, which is about slide 34, is there just a breakdown in economic classification of the program that I've just mentioned. Then we're going on to slide 35. Here we've given the whole history of how the budget of the department has been going on for the past, the 3 years that have been already audited, the current financial year, and then the 3 years of the EMTF that is coming. As I've indicated, if you look at the 2019-20 budget, compared it against the 2018-19 budget, as I've indicated, it will look like we've increased the budget by 11.8%, but as I've indicated, the fact is that it's because of the accommodation. And if you look throughout the MTF period, throughout the 3 years, from 2019-20 to 2021-22, the increase is only about 13.8% over the 2 years. So you can say that on average, going forward, the budget will be only about 6-point-something increase, which we'll see whether maybe as the department will be able to survive within that budget. Going on to slide 36, here we're trying to show that you will realize that it's a breakdown of the different four programs to say how are we allocating funds within the department. The tall bar is the one that talks to administration, which actually indicates that administration seems to have taken a lot of the budget of the department. But then if you combine, as the next slide will show, but if you combine the three core business programs, you'll see that in total together, they take a large portion of the department. But the reason for that, administration is the one that provides support to the department, but it's also making sure that we support everyone in making sure that we comply with all the legislation that is prescribed. Going on to slide 37, this is the breakdown that I was just mentioning, to say that in terms of the bars that you've just seen, you will realize that the administration is taking about 44% of the department, and the 56% of the department is then utilized for the core business of the department. Thank you very much.
Ms. Mavitsi.
Before you continue, honourable members, on page 28 of the printed document of this document, you find the target. There's no targets on your presentation. But on page, if you go to the printed document, you'll find on page 28 that they do have targets. That's program 4. Yes. On each program, they do have targets. Eh? But I don't see it on the slide. You may continue.
Thank you, Chair. Good evening, Chairperson, honorable members, and my colleagues. What I'm going to present to the committee is HR entails recruitment as well as employment APT for the department. Okay, our total establishment as a
thank you. Our total establishment as at 31 March 2019 is 150. So for the period under review, the department had filled 140 posts and with vacancies of 10. And I'm going to share with the committee a summary in terms of the various units in the department. We have Office of the Secretary, which has 17 posts, and there is no vacant post. And under Finance Office of the CFO, we have 27 filled posts with no vacant post. Under Corporate Services, we had 29 with one vacant post. Intergovernmental Partnerships, we have 15 filled posts and 3 vacancies with a vacancy of 18. And Oversight, Monitoring, and Evaluation, we have 26 total posts, 1 vacancy, and 25 filled posts. Under Policy and Research, we have 15 posts, 2 vacancies, we have 15 posts with 2 vacancies, and then 13 filled. And for Legislation, we have 5 with no vacant posts. And we also have Office of the DPCI Judge, which has 8 total posts and 7 filled with 1 vacant post. We also have the DNA with 4 total number of posts, 2 vacancies, and 2 filled. And the total, the vacancy rate, it was 6.67%. The next slide will be on employment equity. Okay, in terms of SMS members, we had a total of 30, with 13 females and 17 males. And then in terms of, when you translate that in terms of percentage, it's 57% male and 43 females. And then in terms of the disability, we have 0.71. And then a breakdown in terms of posts below SMS. We had a total of 23 for level 12, and then we have 13 females with 10 males, and that is the percentage, which is 43 for males and 57% for females. And then we also have salary level 11. The total in terms of posts is 4, 3 males and 1 female. And then when you translate that in terms of percentage, it's 75% for males and then 25% for females. And then under salary level 10, we had 23 posts, 17 females and then 6 males. And then when you translate that in terms of percentage, it's 26 males and then 26% for males and then 74% for females. And then for assistant director, for salary level 9, it's 5 posts, 3 females and then 2 males. And then in terms of percentage, it's 40% males and 50% females. For salary level 8, it's 11 posts, with 7 females and 4 males, and in terms of percentages, 36% for males and then 64% for females. And salary level 7, 13 posts, 6 females and then with 7 males, and then in terms of percentages, 54% for males and then 46% for females. And then for level 6, it's 7 posts, 4 females and then 3 males, and in terms of percentages, 43% for males and 57% for females. For salary level 5, it's a total of 11, 6 females and then 5 males. And then in terms of percentage, it's 45% for males and then 55% for females. For salary level 7, for salary level 4, we have 3 in terms of posts and then 1 female and then 2 females. And then in terms of percentage, it's 67% for males and then 33% for females. For salary level 3, it's 4, and then we only have 4 males with a percentage of 100% males. For salary level 2, it's 6. We have 4 females and then we had 2 males. The percentage is 33% for males and then 67% for females. So in terms of the total establishment, like I indicated, it, that we had 140 field posts, so for males it's 46%, and then for females it's 54%, and disability is 0.71%. So the next slide is a breakdown in terms of the overall staff establishment in terms of race. So for blacks we have 94%, and for colored it's 3%, Indian is 1%, and white is 2%. And then in terms of females in the department, for black we have 93%, and then colored 3%, Indian 3%, and white 1%. For males, we have 94% for blacks, 3% for white, and then colored 3%. And for SMS, we have 57% males and then 43% females. Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. We end our presentation.
Do you have any other additions? Honorable members, the same that we must have some gender equity in the committee. No? So we're going to start with Honorable Member Whitfield. I can't just start with the women all the time.
Thank you very much, Chair. I was going to move a motion to that effect. I will be quicker than my colleagues at the other end of the row. Chairperson, I always try to be respectful in my representations in committee meetings. However, I must express my disappointment in the presentation that we've just received. I didn't share the same disappointment as my colleagues on the iPad presentation. However, it seems that things have deteriorated quite substantially. I think that this secretariat has an enormous responsibility with respect to the performance of our police and enabling the minister to execute his duties. However, the presentation did not inspire confidence that the mandate is being delivered upon adequately. In particular, the fact that we had to juggle between the APP and the actual presentation, and the chair actually directed to us the fact that none of the targets were actually presented. actual performance in outer years, what is happening over the medium term, what are we planning, how is the budget going to direct the mandate of the department along with the targets. And I can't recall, Chair, in a busy few days, whether it's this directorate, and I can be corrected, I think the budget for staff and consumables, etc., 85% of the total budget for compensation, and I stand to be corrected. I saw something somewhere. And what is alarming about that is that the presentation didn't give us any indication, again, sorry to mention the word impact, but the impact of that compensation. So we expect it to be a resource-intensive job. We understand that you need to employ a lot of people. They need to travel to police stations. We don't know whether they did. We don't know how many police stations they visited. We don't know to what extent we are getting benefit for the compensation that we are paying. So we know that we're paying, and we know who we're employing in terms of gender equity, etc. But we were, I think, expecting to understand in terms of targets what the department is hoping to achieve. I'd be interested to hear specifically, Chair, on the 800 stolen firearms. I think it was the 2017-18 annual report of SAPS, what role the directorate plays with respect to oversight in monitoring asset registers when it comes to issues particularly of firearms, bulletproof vests, etc., to ensure that our police are safe, but also to ensure that our firearms are not on the streets. If I could just get some insights into the assessment of efficiency of the Central Firearms Registry as one of the objectives. It's not efficient, I don't believe. I'm open to advice. I'm new to this committee, but I would appreciate, you know, what indicators are you looking at? How do you monitor the Central Firearms Registry for efficiency? And what are the key problems in delays in issuing licenses to both vendors and users? I was really fascinated by the very quick presentation on office accommodation. I fascinated partly because it was so quick, but also because I didn't really quite understand how you get a 670% increase. And I might have missed the motivation, but I'd like to know what, if the staff complement size has not grown, necessitates an increase in the budget of such an amount or such a percentage to accommodate who? Where are these officers? It raises major alarm bells that you can incur 670% increase, it appeared, in one financial year or over two financial years for office accommodation, and whether that is going to assist the Secretariat in fulfilling their mandate. I'm not sure whether it will. And then particularly concerning, and again, because I think the presentation lacked detail, and perhaps that's the reason why it wasn't obvious, there was a comment that there is a shift in the budget from police performance to information management, and something to do with the Fourth Industrial Revolution. I want to caution presenters to come to the committee and hurl slogans at us. That's for politicians to do, respectfully. But if you can explain why, if the performance of SAPS is one of the objectives of the Secretariat to make sure that our police are performing to the standards that are expected, if that is indeed the case, then why are we shifting budget from police performance to information management? And what information are you managing that is going to help us to drive police performance? Maybe that's the question to ask. What is it? Is it ICT? Is it new systems? Is it an integrated, modernized approach to managing the information? What information are you managing? We just need a little bit more information on that. So for me, the two most pressing questions, Chair, just to summarize, were the 670% increase in office accommodation costs, and then the shift in budget from police performance to information management, and the what role the Secretary plays with respect to monitoring asset registers, in particular firearms and bulletproof vests. Thank you.
Chairperson, thank you. I'm not going to repeat what my colleague just mentioned. I must also admit that I'm very confused at the moment. I'm not sure, you know, why we were gathering here and meeting with these people. Because they didn't tell us one thing what they are doing. Yes, they told us a lot of things. They told us about their department and things happening in their department, but I haven't heard anything about their deliverables. and what they deliver. You know what even confused me more, I don't think that they clearly understand the boundaries between them and the police. Some of these things are quite overlapping, and I was surprised that they can think that some of these things are their responsibility. And, you know, my advice would be that they engage the police and get clarity about exactly what their, you know, responsibilities are. I would like, you know, them just to mention one thing where they have improved police service in this year. You know, one thing that really excites me in their presentation is that they want to professionalize the police, and every one of us around this table is yearning for that. We need to professionalize the police. They just touch on that in the air. I don't know what they're going to do and by when. So really, I'm disappointed. I haven't received anything from my side that I can support their budget unless they persuade me before they go. You know, if the budget wasn't, you know, if we are not going to debate it on Thursday, I would have said that we really need to send them back and come with a proper presentation because, you know, I feel like, you know, we have wasted our time. And I don't want to be rude. You know, I align myself with my colleagues. But we are not here to listen to fairy tales and stuff. We really need to get proper facts, Chairperson, that will allow us to see what progress we are making. Government is spending money, even if it's such a small budget. I rest my case, Chairperson. Thank you.
Agreed. Absolutely agreed with you.
Thank you.
Honorable Molekwa.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. My question is on page 20. On the risk and mitigation. I just want to know on the strategy you have developed in terms of making sure that the stakeholders do cooperate with you, because you are saying you have the delays in the finalization of legislation due to the dependency of other stakeholders in finalizing legislation processes. And there are slides, I don't know where that way in fact you indicated that stakeholders are not cooperating. So what plan do you have in making sure that your stakeholders indeed are cooperating? The second question is on page 22 and 23. I see the slides, but my challenge is that they are not targets. So why don't you put the target in a responsible portfolio or a department to take this matter up in making sure that these issues are implemented? The last one is on the inability to cover the full scope of sub-budget analysis due to inadequate skills and capacity to analyze that. It did not indicate which skill do you require, so we cannot assume that you require this skill, but I think it is important that you include those skills that you require to assist you to achieve this objective. And then the other one is the cooperation of staff. So I don't know what is the problem. Maybe you can explain further on why SAP did not cooperate with you, because you are supposed to work together in order to achieve the objective. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Chair, and the leadership here in front. I really concur with my Chairperson. Whatever she said is that I'm on it as well. She was responding to the support she gave to my colleague here. I really had nothing, to be honest. But there's this thing that you said you are also on transformation. I would like to know what you understand by the transformation that you talk about in this document, number one. Then we were told that there are already 5,000 police on training, and there is also a need for 7,000 to be incorporated in the police force. And what was your advice from the minister on those numbers? Because when I sit here, I see you as the advisors and everything as the police force. But the question I have is that, is there any value for money here that we get from you? From this presentation, it's zero. There's none. Because you are not telling us anything that motivates us to think otherwise. It only explains how you work and all that, and who is where and who's not in. That's all that we get. But it's not a more detailed presentation that we understand where you're getting us to. Because there's also the issue of buildings. We have been shown some pictures of dilapidated buildings here. And the reality would like to know how you advise the minister then, because the minister was here yesterday and he told us what he had to tell us. But the reality is that here are people who are to elaborate more further, and we are not doing that. This presentation should have been brought by one person, and then the rest should have left. Because you are just reading this piece of work, and then that's it. But it doesn't say anything. So I would like to say I concur with both my colleagues, including the chair. Thanks.
Honorable Member Shimbeni.
Chairperson, thank you. I've had nothing. Therefore, I've got nothing to ask. Thank you.
Honorable members, I'm listening to the last two members, and then I'll have to make a ruling.
Thank you, Chairperson. My understanding is that you play an oversight to SAPS and IPED. I just want to ask, on page 11, Chairperson, they say you have joint consultative with IPED. I just wanted to check maybe if they've ever met with IPED, because with the previous presentation that we've received, it was in tatters. So we want to know the oversight that you play, because at least if you had had your indexes here on this documentation, then we'd be able to understand this is where IPED is coming from, this is where they are going to. Instead, the documentation itself speaks more on SAPS and less on IPED. So I would like to get an explanation on that. And then on page 13, you've got where's this page here? You've got you say you do intergovernmental services, civil society, public-private partnership, and community outreach. If you play an oversight on SAPS and SAPS is doing an outreach, do you also do the outreach, or do you play an oversight on the outreaches that are done by SAPS? And if you do your outreaches, what are the targets and what have you achieved and going forward? Because we don't have a clear understanding of where the targets here and where the achievements and going forward, where are we going? And in terms of you enhance accountability and transformation, but we don't see who does yours. You've never said whether you got a clean audit, you got unqualified, under administration, like we don't know what is it that we're expecting. So we don't know whether you are doing good or you are doing bad, because your budget does not go with your performance. If at least you have you had also gave us a clear picture on your performance, then we would be able to engage on this document. But right now I have a lot of questions that I do not see a documentation on, so I would need a bit of clarity on that. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks, Chair. I'm not going to repeat what other members have said. I just want to check with the department in terms of the mandate, and knowing that they have to give support to the minister, are they really getting along? Do they listen to each other? Because I'm asking this question when I heard them saying that they are about to relocate to another building. And I remember throughout the presentations of different units, they were talking about having their own buildings in their own way. And I'm thinking that they are also part of that, because the challenges that they are having with the Department of Public Works, are they not going to encounter the same? Because I'm thinking that the minister would have shared with them, this is what the department feels like going this way, because they are going to work together anyway. And the last part will be on the filling of the post. Do you have a strategy into doing that, so that you don't have challenges of having the department not meeting the targets in vacancies? But one will say that something that I actually will commend you is that on the top, on the SMS management, you have actually, on the non-SMS, you have 75% of females. But when it comes to the top management, you have about 43, where is it? It's 43 females and 57. But one can see that you have tried. But I wish that next time you can get it right, so that you can have even 50-50 if you have. But at the moment, something that worries me is the amendments of the second-hand goods bill. Where do you stand with this? And how do you work with the Metropolis in this? Because the Metropolis is also part of this. So remember, at local level, this is where things are happening. But we don't get where you tell us that some of the failures into the amendment of this, these are the few things that we need to do. I heard about that, I've seen that, but I don't get anything that, what are you doing with the Metro to be assisting you in that, because you cannot give them out. They've been established as under the SACS Act.
Honorable members, I have heard you. I am equally disappointed. I'm going to make the following ruling, that you be given another chance. Because I've read the civilian secretariat, the book that you gave us, because you were of the first ones to send us your document. But what is in your document and what is in your presentation are two different things. So please don't see it as negative in any way. We are back here on Tuesday. We give you another opportunity on Tuesday. When you come back on Tuesday, you add the information requested by the minister. Honorable members, do you agree with me? They are to tell us what the legislative schedule is for 2019. What is the progress with the SAPs? I want these answers on Tuesday, because I don't see it. We are all in the same boat. We are looking for information. It is not a matter of we are presenting our report on Thursday. We must adopt our report on Tuesday. And we have to be confident as a committee that we have done our work. It doesn't mean that because we are constrained by time. We can't do our work. And as I'm saying to you, you were the very first. I congratulate you because you were the very first to send us your documents. And I want to thank you for that. You haven't done justice to your own documents. So let us then say, what is the progress with the policy on the single police service? How is the secretariat building strong community police forums? It has been a question all along. And the community safety forums. You see, we want to go and speak on these things on Thursday. Our emphasis will be on the community safety forums, strong community police forums, and we need to know our members. We have constituencies out there. They want to know if there's any progress on stipends to be paid to them. And I'm sure you had those same questions when you were engaging communities. I would also ask that you tell us if we can expect, and the members asked us, Majozi, Honorable Member Majozi, they have had an unqualified audit. You have had an unqualified audit, which I've read here. But if you haven't read this, you will not know that you had an unqualified audit. And all I want to know is, will the police, the civilian secretariat, continue with its unqualified audit and for this financial year, and what progress you have made in this regard? They have an unqualified audit, so why don't we know about it? It's here. Then you have irregular expenditure of 37.7 million. Was that condoned by National Treasures? Can you just go over that again, eh? Is the DNA board fully constituted? And is it performing? We've done all the bits of we've already asked all the bits on office space, your relationship with the provincial secretariat. You have asked that already. And committee members, you cannot disagree with me when I say that they should be given another opportunity. Committee members, do you agree with me? You all agree? What's good? We give you another opportunity to come next week, Tuesday. Please. But again, thank you. Well done. But you've done yourself an injustice. You've done yourself a disservice. Thank you.
Chairperson, honorable members, we take the feedback with humility, and rightfully so, that you are saying we did ourselves an injustice in terms of the presentation. And we appreciate that you are giving us a second chance to come and present. And Chairperson, Honorable Chairperson and members, we won't disappoint you when we come to present. We will actually deal with all the details that you have asked. As you rightfully say, the information is there. We need to just go and package it effectively. Maybe as and when we were changing the times, we didn't focus on the finalization of the presentation, and on behalf of the team, I appreciate that you are giving us that second chance.
So, please, there's nothing we can do. You know, obviously, we have also put you under pressure to condense the opportunity for you to prepare. And we also want to apologize. But we thought that things were ready, the preparations, because normally you send the presentation a few days ahead of time. So we thought you were ready. So also our apologies that we had to condense the program. We will then be very happy that you do the presentation next Tuesday. Thank you very much. Honorable members, that brings to the end the business of today. May I just excuse the civilian secretary? Honorable members, could you stay for a few minutes? I need to just run through the program with you. The good thing is that you were in Cape Town.
Yeah.
So there's no unauthorized expenditure and wasteful expenditure. Members, just next Tuesday, we continue. We obviously have to do the civilian secretariat again. There was no way I could just let. I didn't. I was being very diplomatic, but we had to let them come back on Tuesday. And then we're going to do the last presentation of CIRA. That is next week, Tuesday. What time do we do the adoption of the budget report? After the presentation. On Wednesday, there's a special sitting. At 9. Yes. Okay. 9 to 9:30. And then there has been a request from the parliament from Kenya. Maybe you could just explain.
It's the Kenyan Independent Oversight Authority that are, I think they're on training with the independent, with IPED. But they also include 3 members of the Portfolio Committee on Safety. And I think they want to meet with the committee, and their counterpart want to meet with us. It includes the chairperson of the committee and 2 other members that we received the correspondence on the day of the chair today.
Could we have an agenda? You know, what exactly they want to discuss with us?
Honourable Chair, I think they just want to formalise ties with the committee, meet each other, and we had a visit last year from the Italian Parliament. They didn't give the committee an agenda. They came. It was an hour meeting. Am I correct? An hour, and they just greeted and said what they're doing in Italy, the safety committee. And I think they're going to do the same thing. They'll probably just meet and greet and say what they're doing in Kenya as the portfolio committee. And I suspect that they would want to ask, because I think they're also learning from South Africa what this committee is doing and how our parliament works. Thank you, Chief.
Members, I put it to the committee. Could we go ahead and allow them to see the committee? There is a special sitting of the National Assembly. The special sitting, Wednesday, 10th of July, 9 to 9:30, to approve the establishment of the Ad Hoc Joint Standing Committee on Intelligence. You have that message. It's a message that we got from
chief will.
I assume that we are going to get, thank you, that we are going to get this revised program again, please. And then on Wednesday, Chairperson, on a lighter note, I'll only come on one condition. Wednesday is my birthday. You are going to bring presents for me, otherwise I'm not coming.
Please, and don't put those gifts on the registry. Which means we will give all the gifts must be under what? If you don't, under 250 rand, then you don't need to declare. Gifts can be very cheap, 100 rand gifts, please. Did you hear? Honorable members, if you agree, we'll send the invitations and confirm the venue and send you the revised program. Honorable member Shimbeni, I don't think I was too soft on them. I had to let them go. After I heard you say you've got nothing to ask because they had nothing to say. Okay then. So let's take it from there. Okay. Yes?
Thank you, Chair. Will you also communicate the venue for Tuesday?
Yes, we said we'll communicate the venue. For Tuesday, this is the same venue. Yes. It's just the venue for Tuesday, for Wednesday. But this one, you start in the National Assembly, but by then you would have had the venue for Wednesday. That will be communicated, honorable members. Enjoy your weekend, and those who are going to the State of the Province addresses. And, then we'll see you next week, Tuesday. Thank you.
Thank you.